For saying anything by way of the homily proper, I apologize because last time I preached, I was told that nobody could hear me. So I am going to scream so the people at the back of the church can hear. I'm not angry, just trying to make sure you can hear. So just a disclaimer. In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us this parable about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, of course, is a very religious Jew, following the letter of the law exactly and bragging about it. He's very proud of himself because of his religious observance. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes. I do this. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like the rest of these losers over here or like that jerk over there. The publican, on the other hand, the tax collector, who clearly is not living his Jewish life very well, walks in, turns his head downward, and says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says that that man went home justified. This is a lesson for all of us, because one of our problems as human beings is that we are constantly comparing ourselves to others. And of course, most often we're going to try to find a way to make ourselves a little bit better than somebody else. The pride is a huge problem. It has become an even bigger problem in our society because our society has driven people down. We have destroyed people's self-esteem. We have destroyed people's understanding of their own dignity. And consequently, people trying to embrace a sense of dignity, rejecting the idea that they are no good and that they're worthless, even though they actually kind of believe that they are, deep inside they know that that's not true. But not knowing how to deal with it exactly, what we do is we try to overcompensate it with pride. That's not the way to handle it. What we have to be able to do is, first of all, recognize the truth of our human dignity. It all goes back to the very first page of the Bible. God is obviously very smart, and he knows that we're not. And he knows that we have all kinds of good intentions, like, "I think I'm going to read the Bible." Yeah, we've all tried that, and we get a couple of pages in, and we say, "Oh, this is a really long book. Maybe I'll just read the New Testament." And so then we read a few pages of the New Testament. Guess what? On the very first page of the Bible, you read already one of the most important things that you can know. God made you in his own image and likeness. And on top of that, if you look at it very carefully, the first 5.5 days of creation, it says God looked at what he made, and it was good. There is one day and one day only that God stopped halfway through the day to look at what he made, and that was the sixth day. God made the animals in the first half of the sixth day, and he stopped and looked at what he made, and it was good. Then he made humanity in his own image and likeness. And in case there was any question, because God knew exactly what our humanity was going to do over the years, he made it very clear, male and female, he made them. That's critical on a couple of points. Number one, men are not greater than women, and women are not greater than men. At the same time, there are only men and women. There aren't 72 different things or whatever. There are two sexes, and that is all. And that's all there ever will be. But it's a matter then of looking at what he says next. God looked at what he made, and indeed it was very good. Very good. That is you. Now that doesn't mean we run around and say, "I'm very good. Aren't I cool? I'm better." No. You're made in the image and likeness of God, and nothing else in creation is. You are a person. Nothing else in material creation is. and therefore you have an immense dignity. How immense? Read the first page of the New Testament. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. Your humanity is so good that God could come down and take your human nature to himself, and it was not an affront to God. That's how good you are, and that cannot change. We must understand that. It doesn't matter what sins you have committed. It doesn't matter what sins someone has committed against you. You can violate your own dignity, and other people can violate your dignity, but that does not change your dignity. That doesn't even reduce it one iota. Your dignity is exactly the same as the day that God created you. And so God looks at you, not what you've done, looks at you as a person made in his image and likeness, and says, this person is very good. But that wasn't enough for God either, because now you are baptized. It's not just that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, but God has allowed us to be baptized into himself, to the point that St. Peter tells us that we have become partakers of the divine nature. So we have been raised to a supernatural level of acting and being. That is the dignity that you have. You are not worthless garbage. You are not trash. You are not less than. And yet at the same time now, we have to make sure that we are balancing this correctly. God has given us immense dignity. We have not lived according to that dignity. We are all sinners. Thankfully, there was one among us who never sinned, and she was the mother of God. Otherwise, there's not a single one of us who can say, but I am perfectly innocent. I've never done anything wrong. No, we can't say that. But what we do need to do is look at the humility. Because we try to overcompensate with our pride and our arrogance to try to make up for what we don't understand regarding our dignity, if we would recognize our dignity and the way we have acted, we would actually be very humble, like the man in the gospel reading today. How often we try to be like the Pharisee. Maybe not when you come before God, although we have to be very careful, because when we come before God, it's also oftentimes a false humility. We try to tell him various things that we really don't believe. It doesn't work. God knows the truth. He knows what's in your heart. So ask yourself, what do you do when you talk to friends? What do you do when you talk to someone in the neighborhood or at the office? Do you brag about your accomplishments? Do you try to make yourself sound a little better? Do you embellish the truth a little bit so that it sounds a little greater than what it really is? All these things that we do trying to make ourselves sound better. Isn't that exactly what the Pharisee did? He just did it with God. We do it with other people. We need to try to be and pray for humility. Humility is, well, it's the most important of all the virtues, along with charity, in the spiritual life. And yet it is one that when we see it in other people, we admire it, but we don't want it. But we'd like to be humble, we just don't want to do what it's going to require to get there, because humility is the most difficult of all of the virtues. Because the only way to achieve humility is through humiliation. And I haven't met very many people in my life who rejoice in being humiliated. And so God will allow us to go through difficult things in order to learn humility. He will allow us to shoot ourselves in the foot and we do it rather frequently. We just shoot off our mouths and we try and tell everybody how wonderful we are and how great we are and all of our accomplishments and look at this and look at that and look at me and aren't I great? And then we walk away and can feel pretty stupid. So we can humiliate ourselves, but most of the time that doesn't even work, because then we try to justify our arrogance. We try to justify why it was okay for me to be bragging, why it was okay for me to think that I'm better than somebody else, why it was okay for me to be gossiping or to be calumniating or detracting or whatever it happens to be. We are really good at justifying our sins. It doesn't work, but we keep trying. Therefore, God will set us up to be humiliated. If we really want to grow in the spiritual life, God will bless you. He will honor your desire. And He will help you by allowing you to be humiliated. Now, of course, we would look at that and say, He's not helping me very much because, look at, He just trashed me. Because He wants you to be humble. The degree of your charity is equal to your degree of humility. So if you only have this much humility, you only have that much charity. God told us, love God with your whole heart and soul and strength. If our heart is filled with pride, there's no room for loving God. There's no room for loving neighbor. It's all about loving self in the wrong way. So God works to get rid of all of that. He works to open up the heart so that we can do what we were created to do, which is to love. But the only way that that's going to happen is if we die to self, if we grow in humility. So He really is doing us the greatest of favors when He does this. And He, of course, has an infinite imagination. And so just as we heard in the first reading, there are lots of different things that the Holy Spirit is going to do, and He's going to work differently in every person's life. Because the things that you might be proud of are different from the things that I might be proud of. The weaknesses in your personality may be different from the weaknesses in mine. So God will work with each one of us individually. In other words, your humiliation will be a little different from the humiliation that everybody else goes through. It'll be similar, but it'll be specific to you. Because God knows you perfectly. He knows what you need, He knows the best way to help you, and that's what He's going to do. So the question we have to ask is, do we really want that? That is the critical question. St. Paul told us in the first reading, don't go to dumb idols. Turn to the living God. But you're made in God's image and likeness. You are made to therefore be like Him. God is absolutely humble, perfectly humble, because God is perfect love. He is absolute charity. And if charity and humility are the same, if God's charity is perfect, His humility is perfect. That's how He wants you and me. He wants us to love perfectly. In order to do that, we have to have perfect humility. So again, is that what we want to do? Now, I throw that out as a challenge because I can tell you from years of talking about this with people, most people do not want to love very much. They're content with loving as much as they do. That's not what God wants. He didn't say, love God, mediocre. Love God with half of your heart. He didn't even say, love God with most of your heart. But most of us don't really want to love, because that leaves us vulnerable. In order to love, you have to take a risk. In order to love, you have to be vulnerable. and we are so afraid of being vulnerable because we're afraid of being hurt that we refuse to love. And therefore, we refuse to be humble. So again, now I ask you, is this something you really want to do? It's what you are created to do. It is the only thing that is going to make you fulfilled. It is the only thing that is going to make you truly happy. But do you really want it? Our society would say no to such an invitation. God is calling you. It is not about society. It is not about what everyone else is doing. It is about God's individual call to you as a person. So we fit in a lot better in society if we're arrogant. We fit in a lot better in society if we are selfish. We fit in a lot better in society if we brag and do all the other things that everyone else is doing. But that's not what God created us for. Again, go back to the very first page of Scripture. You're made in His image and likeness. St. John couldn't have put it any more succinctly, and it's one of the shortest verses in all of Scripture. First book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 8. God is love, period. Nothing else. God is love. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are made to love. You are made to be loved. You are made to be transformed into love itself. That's your dignity. That is the call that is yours. That is the call given to every single person. And all the graces are there because you are a member of Jesus Christ. Because you have been raised to that supernatural level of acting and being, all the graces are there for you to be able to do this. It's not easy. It's not always very fun. It is total freedom. That's what God wants for us. He wants freedom. He wants fulfillment. He wants you to be the person that He created you to be in the fullness of what that means. So now we simply again have to ask, do I want that? So the Holy Spirit is given, and He will continue to work in us if we allow Him to. If we don't want Him to, He won't. But if we are willing to ask, He will do great things. So all I can tell you, I remember one day a man came into my office. And he said, well, I learned an important lesson. I said, what's that? He said, you told me to pray for humility. I said, yeah. He said, I did. I'll never do it again. And do you know what God did to me? I said, praise the Lord. He said, oh, no, 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 no. So, once again, do you really want it? We have to cooperate. We have to be willing to accept when God sends the humiliations. And we have to be able to embrace them, to be able to try to live it. Sadly, humility does not come easily and it doesn't come quickly. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said it takes a lot of humiliation to gain a little humility. So, yeah, that's our human problem. So it's going to be humiliated over and over and over and over again. But if you know somebody who has been through that, you will also know that this is a person who has a deep sense of peace. You will know that this is a person who has a deep sense of holiness, a deep compassion, a deep charity, all these things that you can see and desire. But there's only one way to get there. So if we look at that passage in the gospel today and we ask ourselves, am I more like the Pharisee or am I more like the publican? If we are going to be honest and say, I think I'm more like the Pharisee, then we need to pray. We need to ask God for the grace to be humble, so that we can be charitable, so that we can become the persons that He made us to be.